In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, we're looking at the things that God says we need to add to our faith. And the first one we saw was virtue. And we were saying how virtue added to faith makes it that our faith is lively and active. It makes our faith to be strong and courageous. You know, it gives us a manly and an aggressive faith. It causes us to live out our faith and to show our faith by our works. So we need to have an active, energetic, vital, and vibrant faith. That's what virtue does for our faith. And we were saying last time that doing God's will includes many things that require not laziness, but activity. In other words, we have sufferings to endure, temptations to resist, duties to perform. You know, the Bible says that the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. And if we have true faith, you know, we have been saved to serve the Lord Jesus. And if we're serving Him, we should be very busy in His work. And like Paul said, we should be always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so that's where we left off last time. One thing I want to show is how, as we keep our faith in exercise, and again, exercise is the opposite of being lazy and idle and still, then what happens is God's power will work in us through our faith to make us fruitful. In other words, it's God who makes us fruitful. It's His power operating in us to give us faith and to keep that faith in exercise, and then to work through that faith that enables us to be productive in the service of God. Colossians 1 is a place that tells us that. Colossians 1 and verse 10. It says that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Now there's a high attainment. Walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And you remember, we walk how? By faith. Not by sight, or not by flesh. And then he says, if we do that, we will be fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. See, there's that idea of virtue. Energy, might, or power. In other words, our faith is not something weak. Our faith is what gives us strength. And the Bible says that by faith, through weakness, they wax strong. Or out of their own weakness, they grew strong. Why? Because our faith is in Christ. So what's the Bible say? His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So at the very time we're weak, as we trust in Him, He pours His strength in us. That's why it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's who keeps on pouring his strength into me. So when you're feeling weak, don't say, "Oh, I'm weak, I can't do it." Say, "I'm weak, I can't do it, Lord. I look to you, and with your help, I can do it. You can do it through me by your power, for I have none of my own." And that's what faith does for us. The Bible says he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. And it says, even the youths shall grow weary, and the young men shall faint. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's very real. Have you experienced that? Have you ever been whipped? Can't go on? Nothing left? Lord, help me. And then all of a sudden, there it was, what you needed to continue. He gave it to you. Well, that's God. I will help thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's God. And as your days, so shall your strength be. You see, if we walk by faith, you know what that's saying? Nothing will come to us in any day that's beyond the strength God will give us. Seems that way sometimes. Feels somewhat that way sometimes. But he says, as your days, so shall your strength be. And he says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And you know why our strength is small? Because our faith is weak. Because it's by faith we are strengthened. If we're not strengthened, we're not trusting like we should. Because God is good as his promise. He won't come short of us. Okay, so, 1 Peter 1:5, this is a good verse. Just to show how God's power works through faith. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Or, as a Christian, I say, man, I can't make it to heaven. It's too hard. I mean, look at all the enemies. Look at all the trials. Look at all the struggles, all the difficulties. You know, look at all that stands in my path. How will I ever make it? I'm kept, guarded, and preserved by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice that power operates through faith. And it will continue to operate because God will continue to maintain the faith he's given us. You know, Jesus says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So God's power will never be lacking to us because our faith will never be able to completely die within us. But you say, well, sometimes I feel like I have no faith and I have no strength and I can't go on. Well, that's again a case of we need to ask God for grace, you know, to have the faith to receive his power and to keep going. And he won't let that faith completely die. There'll be some faith there. Sometimes it's weaker, sometimes it's stronger. And yet it will never, ever fail us because God will maintain it. And so that's why, you know, you say, well, it's great to have the power of God, but I don't have faith. Well, God gives the faith too. Even the faith is by his power. It's not saying we have the faith, he has the power, and if you believe, he'll give you the power. He has the power to work faith in you to believe so you can have his power operating in you to keep you even unto salvation. And that's exactly how it works. You know, faith is the operation of God. So, it's God's active might operating through our faith that makes us active in our faith, you see? Who's our faith in? Me and what I can do? My own strength? Or in God and what he can do and his almighty infinite power? It's in God. And so, by that faith, God's power works in me. And it's by the power of God that I become active in my faith. You see why that's different? Some people try to make themselves active. I'm going to be active. So they go out there, you know, with bluster and bravado. I'm going to do it. And they fall on their face. Why? Who are they trusting in at that point? Themselves. And what their strength can carry them through. Well, their strength can't carry them through anything. And so it comes to nothing. So we got to make sure that we're living by faith, which means I'm looking to God, I'm trusting in Him, I'm drawing upon His power by faith, and now I'm operating in His strength and not in my own. That's a big difference. We have to make sure faith is there. Notice what Colossians 2:12 says. We are buried with Him. That's Christ. In baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him. Now remember, Christ's resurrection was the display of God's mighty power. When you, that power has come to you as a Christian. You've been raised with Him. How? Through the faith of the operation of God who has raised Him from the dead. So this resurrection, this new life in Christ that you have, was by the same power that raised the body of Jesus Christ from the grave. And what? How did that power come to you? It was through the faith. In other words, it's when you believed. But this faith is of the operation of God who has raised Him from the dead. In other words, the same power that raised Christ from the dead works faith in our hearts. Faith is God's operation, His active working, His powerful doings in our life. And that's what the faith is. The faith of the operation of God who raised them from the dead. And notice how that faith energizes and empowers us. Chapter 1, verse 29, Paul's talking about his ministry. How he's preaching in verse 28 and teaching. And the goal of his ministry is to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He says, whereunto, or unto which goal I also labor. All right, Paul was putting forth great energy and effort. Laboring means sweating. That means laboring even unto weariness and exhaustion. You know, there's different kind of labor. Some of us do physical labor and we get worn out, tired. Well, there's also spiritual labor, and that takes much effort, and that's very difficult, and that's very draining. And we need strength for that. I always said I'd rather spend a day doing bulwark than a day of doing God's work, because God's work's harder. And I don't mean I'd rather do it, like I don't want to do God's work, but as far as which is easier? The physical. The spiritual is, you know, you're not, in the physical you're laboring against physical forces, in the spiritual you're coming up against principalities, powers, and all these other obstacles and hindrances and conflicts in the realm of the soul. And that is, you're not just working freely, you're always up against all kinds of pressures and things that are trying to work against you. And so he says, I labor in preaching and teaching, striving. There he is, wrestling, struggling, agonizing, putting forth intense effort, striving according to what? My puny abilities? My own innate energy? My own personal power? No, I am striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. God's working is the measure of my striving. And how great is that? Well, it's working in me mightily. That's virtue. That's adding to your faith virtue. Now, does that mean if I've got God's power, I'll just fly through everything and nothing will get in my way and I'll have no problems on, I'll never be tired again? No, Paul was, he said he was in weariness often and in painfulness often. He was constantly worn down by his labors and by his sufferings. And yet, God's power just kept picking him up and keeping him going. That's virtue. Add to your faith virtue. I like to see a virtuous Christian, someone that can say, you know, yes, I'm a believer now. I'm serving Christ. I'm living for the Lord. I'm doing His work. I'm coming into this kind of conflict and persecution. I'm having these kind of difficulties and troubles. The devil's attacking me and trying to stop me in these ways. And I'm having all kinds of people coming against me, and all my circumstances seem to be falling apart because, you know, the spiritual warfare is so intense. But I keep going, and God's blessing me and using me. That's virtue. You know, if somebody came in after, you know, you hire them for a job, get out there, you know, one of these big bull, burly, you know, guys, get out there and start, you know, working on construction, real hard job. He walks in, oh, I got a splinter, I got to quit. Like a, you know, 250-pound guy, you know, muscles coming out of his shirt everywhere. I got a splinter. I got to quit. What would you look at him like? What? How many times do we get a splinter in God's work? Oh, I can't serve the Lord. I can't live for the Lord. It's too hard. Come on, you got God's power. Let's keep going here. Let's not quit. Anyway. I don't know where I get my illustrations. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 20. Talks about Paul's prayer. Verse 16, he's praying that the believers of Ephesus would be strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man, according to the riches of His glory. In other words, wow, there is power. And he talks in verse 19 about being filled with all the fullness of God. And then he ends with a doxology. Now, unto Him that is able, of course God's able, He's God, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Why, of course, He's God. I mean, He's infinite. There's nothing too hard for Him. No doubt about it. No question whatsoever. According to the power... Well, notice how this brings it home. The power that worketh in us. There's a power at work in us that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. It's the power of God. We need to get a hold of that power, you know, tap into it by faith and see what it can do in us. In us. That's adding to your faith virtue. I am weak, but He is strong. That's a simple song, right? But it says a great truth. I am weak, but He is strong. Well, this is why the Bible speaks of the work of faith. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. What's the work of faith? It's the work that's done by faith. The work that is the product and result of my faith. Now, how's your faith? How's your faith? How do you answer that question? Well, James says, I'll show you my faith by my works. Okay? I'll tell you what then. Write down the works that your faith is accomplishing and then look at that. You know, you can itemize it and use it as a way to say, all right, here's what my faith is producing in my life. Now, how would I rate that? If I look at what my faith is producing in my life, in other words, I have faith. Now, because of my faith, 1. Because of my faith, 2. Because of my faith, 3. Because of my faith, 4. Down the line. And then you say, all right, here's my works. I'll show you my faith by my works. What would my works say about my faith? I have no faith. I have little faith. I have some faith. I have much faith, great faith. Well, you know, God gives us the measure of faith, but I think that we should be striving to see our faith grow. And if our works are based on our faith, if our faith grows, what will happen to our works? They'll grow with it, right? They have to, because one follows the other. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Paul said the first thing he remembered about the Thessalonians was their work of faith. Wait a minute, Paul. Paul doesn't understand church practice. I don't know why he wouldn't, but he doesn't. These are new Christians. You got to have 5 years of discipleship, 10 years of training, 20 years of experience, and then you can do something. No. He says these new Christians were demonstrating works in their lives, the work of faith. They had faith, and faith isn't going to wait. You feed your faith, and it grows, but it's not going to wait a certain amount of time before it starts evidencing itself. If faith is there, it's going to start showing. And so they're doing the work of faith. What if the Lord gave us a wage, pay in direct proportion to your work for me? All right. We all have different measures and different responsibilities, and He gives us faith based on what He has for us to do. But let's not be too quick to find it easy to say, well, I never was meant to do much, and I've only got a little faith, so you can't expect anything from me. Guess what? You just stopped believing, and you started looking at yourself, cutting off your faith and what God could do, and limiting yourself to what you think you're able to do. Now, let's keep our faith where it should be, on the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1. And verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you. Now there's a great work. Are we full of the spirit of prayer, praying for each other constantly? That's very important. That our God would count you worthy of this calling. That God makes us worthy of the Christian calling, and that He might fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness. For as God has a sovereign purpose of goodness for His people, may He see that through to its completion, its entirety. And, notice this, here's what else we pray for you. That God would fulfill the work of faith with power. Notice, it doesn't say just that God would give you faith, just that God would keep you in faith, but that God would make your faith active and energetic and fruitful and laborious. The work of faith with power. Notice, He doesn't ask us just to believe and then go out in our own strength. With power, His power, making our faith effective and productive. So, the work of faith is the work done by faith, and it's something that's done with God's power operating in us. So, by God's grace, believers should be aggressive and vigorous both in their labor and in their warring, because we are called to fight. And nothing worse than a lollygagging, lackadaisical soldier. Hi there, enemy. Nice to see you. How are you today? Maybe I ought to pick my gun up and aim it at you and pull the trigger. No, you better work a little faster than that, or you're going to be first one down. You need to be active in labor and in warring. So what Paul is saying, or I should go back to Peter, add to your faith virtue. Faith is where it starts. Faith in Jesus Christ is how we receive salvation, by the grace and power of God through the finished work of His Son. But that will lead to a life of following Christ in obedience and service to Him. Isn't that true? Faith without works? Faith without obedience? Oh, that can't be. The two have to be together. Remember how Paul described it in Romans 1? In verse 5, he's preaching the gospel to produce salvation. And when that salvation comes, notice how it's described. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. See, Paul was a Christian by God's grace. By grace are you saved through faith. Then out of yourselves it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So he could say, I am what I am by the grace of God. He was made an apostle by the gift of God's grace. So that's what gave him his position in the church. And he says that he labored more abundantly than all the other apostles, yet it was not him but the grace of God that was with him. So he's given himself as an example. The moment I was saved, I was called to a work, right? When did Jesus save Paul? On the road to Damascus. When did Jesus say, Paul, I want you to be a witness to me before all nations? 20 years later? 30 years later, when? On the road to Damascus, same time. I wonder if that's why the Arminians like to tell you, well, you're saved, you know, that's by your free will, but then God chooses and predestinates you sometime later to serve Him in some way. That's what it means when it talks about election and those kind of things. You can't separate those two in Paul's life. He was saved and called, chosen, predestined to be a Christian and to be an apostle. And that's why he says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. I beseech you as laborers together with Him. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. I mean, look at Paul's life. We talked about earlier. Look at what he accomplished. What was that? God's grace operating in him to make him a mighty laborer and warrior for Christ. Well, do we have that grace? If we're Christians, we do. So let's get alongside of Paul and start doing likewise. He says, it was for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, or to the obedience of faith. So can there be faith without obedience? Faith without works? Faith without labor? You know, faith without service? No, you can't separate those. You know, Romans 16:26 says basically the same thing. He's talking about the preaching of Jesus Christ by the gospel and how it's now made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Where the gospel goes out and where it's received, where there's a response of faith, it will produce a life of obedient service and worship to Christ. Has to. Because you cannot have true saving faith without that. So, faith is not an excuse for laziness. Rather, it's the first step of a life of laborious for Christ. Laboriousness. The only way to know our faith is true is if it's led to a life of following and serving and living for and growing in Christ. You know, we've got a long rest before us. We have heaven as our rest. and eternal rest. But you know how the Bible describes us as entering heaven? We enter a rest after a life of labor and suffering for the Lord. Revelation 14. In verse 12 it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Notice, he puts those two together. The saints are those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. In other words, they have faith in the truth of the gospel and obedience to the precepts of the gospel. All right, so that's how they're identified. That's their life. Now it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." Whereas when we die, we rest. I hope you didn't start resting the day you said you came to Christ. I'm saved now. I can rest from my labors. Well, yeah, your own works of trying to save yourself by keeping the law, sure, you need to rest from those, or you do not have faith in Christ. But what I'm saying is, that's the day we get going. That's the day we really start out. That's when we become active. That's when we really start living for Christ. That's when we start doing the work He has for us. "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Notice, we rest from our labors when we enter heaven, and their works do follow them. Notice, it doesn't say their works may follow them. Or if they were better Christians than others, they'll have works following them. Their works do follow them because they do the works of their faith. They've been laboring. Now they have entered their rest. And that's why the Bible says that we're going to be judged by our works. By our works. Yeah, if I'm a believer, I'll have works that will show it. Right? And if I have works like that show it, God can point to those works and say, "See? He's one of mine, and here's the evidence of that being the case." If I have no works, I don't care how much I said I had faith. That's not saving faith. Faith without works is dead. If I'm going to enter heaven, I need to be able to show my faith by my works. I'm not saved by my works, but it's my works that are the evidence and the demonstration that I indeed had faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. So, we shouldn't have to wait till heaven to show our works. We should be able to show them now, daily. I hope a day doesn't go by that we can't say, "I did something for the Lord. I did something for the Lord by His grace and for His glory," and feel the greatest joy and honor and privilege imaginable to be able to say that God worked in me to use me in his kingdom, in the work of the gospel, the work that Jesus came to be, to begin for us, and that He's put us in to spread the good news of what He did for us. He did the work of our salvation. There's no work to be saved left, but we work from salvation. And there's plenty of that to do. So add to your faith virtue. All right? We'll close there.